Police groups and their critics say a new state law will help restore public trust. It mandates more training, independent investigations of police shootings, and new standards in charging officers with misconduct. KUOW's Amy Radel has more.
At the end of the last legislative session, a compromise was reached between law enforcement groups and Deescalate Washington, the group that sponsored an initiative to change police practices. Their compromise is subject to a lawsuit, but in the meantime, state officials are preparing to implement it. Sue Rahr heads the state's Criminal Justice Training Commission. Her academy already trains new police recruits in concepts like de-escalating violent confrontations. But until this law, she says they weren't able to train all the officers already on the job.
Now we have funding and the capacity to actually do that training.
Rahr says she's also responsible for assembling stakeholders to weigh in on the new law and for figuring out how to conduct independent investigations when someone dies at the hands of law enforcement.
That's going to be an area that we're going to have to do a lot of groundwork and create something that doesn't currently exist.
The new law changes the threshold for prosecuting officers for negligent deaths. Critics said the old standard made it nearly impossible unless the officer acted with malice. The new standard will be whether the officer acted as any reasonable officer would have. Rahr says that's already the standard they use in their police training.
Removing that word, I think, does a lot to reassure the public and starting to rebuild the trust of people that were concerned about having that malice standard there.
Law enforcement groups did not support Initiative 940 as proposed by Deescalate Washington, but many did support the final compromise. James McMahon, the policy director for the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs, says the negotiations resulted in real dialogue.
We started something new where both sides of a clearly emotional and polarizing issue began to truly listen to each other, and we want to build on that.
The law emphasizes the need for police officers to provide first aid to shooting victims as soon as the scene is secure.
I think the big point that Initiative 940 was trying to make in that section is when somebody needs help, don't just stand there. And I have every confidence that in the vast majority of cases where this would be applicable, our officers don't just stand there. They provide help to those who need help.
Marilyn Covarrubias says she doesn't understand why officers didn't seek medical aid more quickly for her son Daniel. He was shot by Lakewood police officers in 2015 as he reached for what turned out to be a cell phone.
They need to learn how to ascertain what is actually happening before they go into kill mode.
Covarrubias campaigned for Initiative 940, but says she's happy with the compromise as well.
I want something good to come out of this. I want to stop seeing people die, because every time I see someone die unnecessarily, needlessly, it brings all of the pain back.
The Seattle Police Officers Guild called Initiative 940 anti-cop, saying it would make it easier to prosecute police for political reasons. But the Academy's Sue Rahr says the initiative backers and law enforcement turned out to have many issues in common.
There was certainly a perception about it being very anti-cop, because a lot of people that supported I-940, there were some people that said some pretty inflammatory things. But at the end of the day, many of the people in that group I worked with, and we had the same goal, and that is to reduce deadly encounters.
Rahr says they have almost 2 years to implement the new trainings, but she hopes to get them up and running sooner. Another factor in the law would be Tim Eyman's lawsuit. He wants a judge to put the initiative and the compromise language on the November ballot. I'm Amy Radel, KUOW News.